happened was I separated my shoulder.
Yeah.
And when I separated my shoulder, they gave me a prescription for this. They give you a prescription for Norco. We know what it is, Phil.
Hydrocodone.
Hydrocodone, yes. And it also has acetaminophen or acetaminophen.
It's not acetaminophen.
Don't start pissing me off.
Well, what is it, Phil?
I don't know. Here it is. It's called, it's hydrocodone, and it has in it, it's an opioid. There's the danger right there.
All right, well, hold on.
It's an opioid, but it also is combined with one other thing, acetaminophen or whatever the hell it's called. Acetaminophen. Yeah, that's it.
All right, so what the hell is that?
That's the painkiller.
Yeah, but cordone or Norcon.
It's called Norco, you clown. That is the that's the brand name, right, Phil?
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's what I've heard it referred to as. There's also Vicodin. Norco, Zidone.
Well, what'd they call it with you?
What do you mean, what did they call it with me?
When they gave it to you, they must have given it a name that is appropriate.
When they gave it to me, they must have given it a name.
Well, they gave it a name for you, didn't they?
What do you mean they gave it a name for me?
If it isn't called Vicodin...
It was called Norco.
Well, then that's the name they wanted to give it for you.
Why do you say that?
Well, what difference does it make?
There must be a difference. That's the brand, man. Okay, that's the brand name.
All right, Phil.
That's the brand, man.
Phil, you know, you're straining your voice. No wonder you're all weirded out about this audio situation.
Yeah, but see, maybe that's it. Because you're screaming and everything. I'm not screaming about anything. I'm telling you, this is all... You know, you guys are getting me sidetracked again.
Oh, my God, he clenched his fist.
I saw that, Phil. You know, that's a woman that's sitting next to you. See, right there?
Yes, I know.
How dare you?
Well, I just want to make sure he knew.
God, you know, this kind of...
All right, you get a laugh out of that, bud. You know what? You'll get your laugh, and then you'll get gone off this planet.
So, this is the thing that I got when I separated my shoulder, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Yeah, so you got Norco, huh?
Yes, I did. Now, I can tell you, because I told Margaret, I said, wow, yeah, I mean, like, I've never done heroin in my life, thank God, knock wood, whatever.
What do you mean, knock wood?
Who knows? Maybe someday I will, you know.
Phil,
what are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
Maybe someday things will just get so bad in my life that I'll decide to just hit the streets and start doing heroin.
You trying to tell me you can live out of a dumpster or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil's kidding.
You don't know that.
Come on, Mr. Henry, say that you're kidding.
All right, I'm kidding. God, the guy's crying.
Oh, God, you scared the boy.
I'm kidding, bud.
Gonna go out of a dumpster?
Phil, saying that you're going to live in a dumpster is something that is believable, so, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've got to tell us you're kidding.
Because if I didn't say I was kidding, you know, it's sure, yeah, I can see Phil in a... Oh, man.
Phil, it isn't without the bounds of, you know, of reckoning, of imagination, to see you... sifting through a dumpster and coming up with a...
Yeah, coming up with a Big Mac and going, aha!
All right, now I know you guys are kidding.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I'm kidding a little bit. Mr. Henry, we just don't want to see you coming out of a dumpster.
You're never going to see me coming out of a dumpster, okay? That's number one.
All right, you don't have to make this an attack. We're not attacking you. We love you.
Thank you very much for that, Margaret. I do appreciate that.
Well, you're saying... Get out of a dumpster. Jesus.
Yeah, Phil, we're concerned for any possibility you have a... Well, if you have a drug problem...
I don't have a drug problem. I'm almost beginning to regret that I brought this up.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying is, back when I separated my shoulder, I told you guys about that, back in December.
When you fell down the stairs.
Yeah, when I fell down the stairs, but let's be, you know, clear. This is not like, oh, the poor old guy fell down some stairs. We just put in new flooring in the house. The floor was very slippery. It was new laminate flooring.
Yeah, we got it. We understand, Phil, don't worry.
Uh-huh. But anyway, yeah, I did. I went face first down these stairs and rammed my shoulder into the wall at the bottom of the stairs. And so I go to the emergency room, and they took an x-ray, and then they gave me the x-ray, and they said, you go over here, Phil, to the orthopedic place.
Now, this is the Ventura Orthopedic Center.
Yes. I went over there, talked to a very, very fine doctor, who read the x-ray, and he told me you had a separated shoulder. And it's not as bad as a dislocated shoulder. Separated shoulder means basically you literally, there's two bones that get separated. And there really isn't much you can do for it. Now, there are models. There are women, especially, who work in modeling, and a lot of those models are very thin. And you can see bones like shoulder bones and collar, whatever the thing is.
Well, the collarbone.
Is that what it's called, the collarbone?
That doesn't sound right. The collarbone?
Well, whatever.
they need to have everything symmetrical and they need to look good. And he told me that he's done corrective surgery on these, because what happens is you got like a bump on your shoulder.
No, I didn't see that. You want to take your shirt off?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. We're on the video cast and we're live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I would, because I know it would give a thrill to a lot of the, a lot of the women and some of the guys, but,
God damn, Henry, look at you.
Well, every week I get some email from somebody saying, would you please button your shirt, Phil? And it's generally from a guy, and he's generally heterosexual, but he says, that could kind of gun my engine, so please button it. Like, right now I'm doing that.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. So,
You mean you're kidding about getting the email?
Can I finish, please?
Sure, God. Okay, so what happened?
Yeah, so the doctor, he said, you know, sometimes he does surgery. He said it's not the easiest surgery to do either, to correct this kind of...
Because when the bone separates, it sticks up in the shoulder. You've got a little bit of a bump there on the shoulder.
Yeah. And on me, it's pretty pronounced certain, you know, when you're leaning back or doing something like that.
Aren't you afraid you're going to freak people out and go, you're going to get all grossed out and go, God.
What does that mean?
I mean, if Mr. Henry has his shirt off and he's just laying on a beach one day and people see the bump on his... They'll go like, hey, like the hunchback
The hunchback of what, Notre Dame?
Well, I mean, that's what a hunchback is, right?
No, it is not.
No, it isn't, bud. And don't be trying to make jokes about that, okay? Some people have a real severe curvature of the spine that causes all kinds of problems. You get it?
Oh, I didn't know what that was about.
Well, don't start crying, bud, because you're an idiot. If you wanted to cry because you're an idiot, brother, the time for tears was years ago.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm just trying to say.
Sorry, bud. We shouldn't have said that.
Well, yeah, but you did.
I didn't say it. General Shaw did.
Well, you were talking...
Just be quiet. Now then, wherever I was...
You're talking about curvature of the spine.
Yeah. So I have curvature... No, I don't. I've got the separated... Anyway, the doc said to me, he's done that surgery, but he doesn't recommend it.
What's this all about? Did you want surgery?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear that? No.
Phil, you went feminine again.
No, I did not. I simply wanted to, and the problem was that was in 3 days. This happened at the end of December. In 3 days, I was supposed to fly to Atlanta.
Oh, that's when it was.
Yeah, and I said to the doctor, I go, you gotta, you know, I said, I want to do this gig. I mean, it's an important gig. It's only 3 days off. Somebody told me, you know, like beg the guy or something. I don't know what, I got some weird advice from people. Anyway, he said, don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to give you a painkiller and you're going to be fine and it'll heal. By the time you get to Atlanta, you're probably still going to be a little sore, but it won't be something that you can't work with. And sure enough, he was absolutely right. I got to Atlanta. It was sore when I moved my arms in a certain position. I did not take this painkiller while I was there because it's pretty powerful, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to be groggy and all that.
Well, then, so you were not on the painkiller when you were in Atlanta?
No, I was not. I took it on the plane going out. By the time I got to Atlanta, it had pretty much worn off. I got to the hotel, and I went to sleep, and I woke up and went to work. But anyway, make a long story short, I got home, and I began to use it in earnest because, you know, I still was feeling the discomfort, and that's when I noticed.
That's when you noticed how good it was.
Shit. Yeah, but that's a kind of a junkie thing.
How good it was?
Well, that's kind of what a junkie does. They go, yeah, it's good.
Oh, General Shaw, quit with the... Well.
Yeah, that's what they do. Let's, if we can, get Jim Sadler with us. Dr. Jim Sadler, of course, is our medical advice guy. We got to get him on the line for, you know, medical advice stuff. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. Thank you very much. I'm the medical advice guy. I'll take that title. That's fantastic.
Well, you do. You're our go-to guy. So, hydrocodone is an opioid.
It's an opioid analgesic, which means it has in it the properties for not only reducing pain but also any inflammation of the tissues. And that's something that's very, very important because once you can decrease the inflammation, you decrease. Obviously, the pain, because you've got the muscle against muscle and joint bone against joint bone.
Now, how dangerous is that for a guy, just a guy who gets a prescription for that?
Well, you heard General Shaw say that...
I'll take that compliment, though.
Okay, you're welcome, General. Just don't go prescribing Norco.
No.
Yeah, so... what was your question?
I'm sorry. My question was how dangerous...
It's not. not dangerous, Phil. It's a prescription drug that doctors will prescribe for, because it's a prescription. That's what they do. They prescribe it, and you get it at a drugstore. I'm trying to remember what it was I was going to say.
How dangerous?
No, it is not dangerous. I've used it from time to time. I've had a bad knee all of my life. I've done, as you know, I've done some weightlifting, and I've strained every kind of muscle. I've strained back muscles. I've had problems with my knees, as I mentioned. I've had problems with the joints, and so I've taken it from time to time. Sometimes I've had to take a lot of it, because when you're weightlifting and you are and you've got a competition that's coming up.
A lot of the grammar around here, Phil.
I apologize.
Well, a lot of the people we have as guests go, what, as opposed to that?
Yeah, I know, and there's nothing I can do about it since you're the, you know.
Yeah, you're the guy, Phil. Sorry, so you've taken it.
I've taken it, and I'll tell you this. We'll move into another area, yeah. I'm going to get up, Phil, and move over to closer to the bathroom. So I've taken it. It's not a dangerous drug. There are times when I'll crush it. If you need to get the pain relief directly into your system, there are times when I will take a spoon and I'll crumble it, I'll crush it, and I'll just put it under my tongue. There are sometimes, and only actually just one time I did this, where I did crush it up into powder, and I had a straw.
You're kidding me, man.
What was that?
Phil, you just went, bah!
Yeah, what was that?
I started to laugh. Are you serious?
About what?
Did you snort the Norco?
Did I snort the Norco? Yes, because I needed relief immediately.
You're saying that you crushed this up into a powder?
Oh my God, doctor. Are you sure? That's not even... You'd lose the Hippocratic Oath.
What do you mean I'd lose the Hippocratic Oath?
Wouldn't you be, have your license messed with?
Not that I know of, and if that's the case, then I welcome anyone to review my medical license. Everything is in order. At just one time, I needed it to get into my system, so I crumbled it up into a fine powder and I snorted it.
All right. And how'd that work?
It was fun. I can hear you laughing. I don't take this to be a laughing matter.
Well, neither do we, Dr. Sadler. And for you to say that you snorted the Norco because you needed it to work right away...
I was in agony. I was in real agony. And I needed it to get directly into my bloodstream as quickly as possible.
Well, what had happened?
I tore a muscle. I tore a muscle in my upper... one of my arms. I think the right arm.
It doesn't sound to me like you're... Well...
Yeah, why don't you just ease back, Phil? I know what happened. Are you trying to make it sound like I made it up or something?
Well, Dr. Sadler, you were saying I tore a muscle in one of the arms.
No, I tore a muscle in one part of my right arm.
Which part?
Oh, man.
Which part?
The upper part, okay?
All right.
You know, if you don't believe me...
No, I believe you. I believe you. And you were in a great deal of pain.
I was in a great deal of pain. And so I crumbled it up. I crushed it up as fine a powder as I possibly could. I had a straw from McDonald's. Big deal. Okay, it was sitting in a bag, and I went,
Well, is that how you got the idea?
Yeah, when you saw the straw,
what do you mean McDonald's?
I'd gone to McDonald's for lunch. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But you had the bag of McDonald's.
I had a McDonald's bag. And I saw the Norco, and I said, you know what I could do is just crush this up, snort it off of my briefcase. Wow.
You have to understand, this is something, you've got people listening, and a lot of them are young people.
No. Don't ever do what I did, folks. I'm a doctor, I know what I'm doing, and I only did it one time.
Well, did it work?
Oh, yeah, it worked. Yes, it worked. But that's the only time I did it. Look, this is a dangerous drug, there's no question. It is addictive, yes. America has a problem with these opioids. And our pharmacology has gotten far ahead of our social education. And so we really have to be smart at how we deal with these things.
All right, now let me ask something, Doc. As far as you know, when we talk about an opioid problem in America, is this stuff that's coming up from Mexico?
No. Did you get yours from Mexico?
No, I didn't.
No, is it prescription drugs? A lot of people are abusing the prescriptions. There are some doctors that are abusing the prescriptions. And that's a crying shame. I mean, that is a real shame to know that doctors are doing that. But what are you going to do? I mean, how do you... I don't know. I don't know what you say. How do you straighten out a situation like that when you know there's doctors abusing it, there's patients that are abusing that, and what you're doing is you're putting up a wall at the border?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. That wall isn't going to do any good, is it?
Not when it comes to this, no.
All right, now, well, I got to tell you something. The president has, as you know, he's invested an awful lot in the belief that the opioids coming over the border...
Well, there's heroin. If you're talking about heroin... That's going over the border. But, you know, heroin is one part of the drug problem we have in America. The opioid problem is a prescription drug problem. And, I and I know, Phil, because you used it, I use it, and it's good, you know.
Well, how helpful is it to say that?
Yeah, you say that, doctor. People are going to be wanting it now.
I want to tell everybody, you should not do... narco, you should not do any of these drugs. They're bad for you unless, and I'm just saying it was good because I had a problem, and guys like me and guys like Phil, we're allowed to have it because we've got problems.
What do you mean we've got problems? I had a...
We got a pain problem.
Thank you. When you say we've got problems, it sounds like I need the stuff because mentally I'm not sound.
I mean, I could do a joke here.
No, I'd rather you not.
All right. No, Mr. Henry is fine, so am I. Believe me, when it comes to Dr. Jim Sadler, my mind is solid. It's solid, and it's in place, and it's immovable. So when I say that I used opioids because I had torn a muscle in my arm, and I said, it's pretty good, it is, but it's not so good that I want to throw my soul away on it, okay? Because that's really what you're up against, ladies and gentlemen. These drugs are so good that it's not that you're going to lose yourself physically. You're going to lose your very soul. You'll become soulless, and you'll be an animal.
Yeah, the drugs are so good.
I'm not saying that.
Dr. Sadler, can we get this very, very straight?
Dr. Sadler, what we need to do is tell people that the drugs are bad.
What do you mean they're bad?
That they're not that good.
Well, they work.
All right, they're good, but they're not that good.
All right, the drugs are good, but they're not that good. Does that help?
Sadler, you know what we're asking. You know, you're not the first...
All right, I think I know what General Shaw wants to say. It's not the first time we've had you on the show.
Now, that's... Yeah, because he said you're not the first.
It's not... Phil's right. It's not the first time we've had you on the show. And you don't sound like a guy that's devoted that much to healing so much as you're devoted to blurring the line... between what's ethical, what's legal, and what's healthy.
I don't even know what that means.
What it means is the following. You're saying that the drug is good, but you don't want people to take it. You're saying that you're okay with it, but the rest of the people aren't, and that Phil's okay. You're saying that it got rid of the pain, but don't do it. What are you saying, man? And who, are you prescribing this stuff?
I'm saying do not abuse it, okay?
Then that's all you had to say at the beginning.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't abuse it, folks.
Do you prescribe this for yourself?
Well, if I do, it's nobody's... God damn.
No, John, I mean, is it... That's kind of important. Are you prescribing it for yourself or not?
Is it any of your business, Dickman?
Yes, it is his business. He's part of the show. Do you?
If I happen to need it, I'll give myself a quick prescription, and that's why I said I'll crush it up. I've got a straw.
So you prescribe yourself...
No, wait a minute. You're prescribing yourself this narco, and then you crush it up with a straw, you snort it, but you only do that every so often.
That's right. Every so often. And as a doctor... Oh, man.
Dr. Sadler, I'm a little sorry that I brought you on, because what I wanted to ask you about...
Oh, you're sorry that... Wow, get a load of you. You wanted me on your show.
What I wanted to ask you about was my use of it in relation to this injury that I suffered back in December.
Well, are you still taking it?
No, I'm not. I used it for about a week, maybe 2 weeks, because I had this pain from the shoulder separation.
Yeah, well, what about it? You got a bad back, don't you? Do you use it for that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, you know, it's a very, very, it's a slippery slope, Mr. Henry. You can slide down the slippery slope and slide, you can slip and, you slip and slide down a slippery slope.
You can slide down the slippery slope.
You'll slide down a slippery slope. And the next thing you know, you've got a you're crawling along a sewer.
I'm not a junkie.
I know that, but what you want to do is watch your step with that Stidono.
Well, this is the problem we've got, and until we understand a little bit better, not just the effect of the drug, but who's using it, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and there you were at the very beginning of your program going, boy, I use this stuff. Wow, is it good.
I'm not a doctor.
Well, what has that got to do with it?
I'm just reporting it's good. If you're a doctor, you know a little bit more about the effects, and you should say...
Yeah, you should say, I'm Dr. Jim Sadler. Norco's good, but I don't use it because it'll destroy my liver.
Well, how do I know it's good unless I've used it?
Well, you can say I used it one time, it was really good, but now I don't want to use it anymore.
Oh, wow.
Dad, it's the voice is cracking.
Yeah, that voice crack thing's happening.
No, but I think it's very unfair to say to a doctor, I understand about these drugs, I prescribe it for myself, and just because I crushed up one tab one day and started it...
I think that's a problem.
Yeah, you should go consult a psychiatrist.
Oh, is that right? Have you been to a psychiatrist?
No, I think he's right. I think you need to talk to somebody professionally before you use that stuff again. Dr. Sadler, we appreciate you being on the program. We've got to take a break.
Phil, you know, you guys are such a bunch of...
Dr. Jim Sadler...
Now, if a guy is crushing up pills and snorting them...
He said he did it just one time.
Still, there must be a professional review, a board of his peers, you know. You know what I mean by that, Phil?
Yeah, a board of other doctors?
Yes, a board of his peers, a board of other doctors, who review professionally the professional conduct of one of their peers. And in this case, the peer would be...
The what?
The what?
The... Dr. Sadler.
Yes, Dr. Sadler. He's the peer. He's being reviewed by peers.
Right. He's being reviewed by peers.
Piers Bronson.
So I'm surprised you didn't say, like, Angio Peer.
What's an Angio Peer?
Like Pear?
Oh, isn't that? Yay.
Okay, I think I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. We have Steve Bozell on the line with us, going to talk a little bit about doing some stand-up comedy for the men's club, because they have that coming around there at their church. And also, he's going to talk about the Nashville Predators, who, as we speak, are in overtime. Now, this is a show we're doing live, our Sunday night live show, and it'll be downloaded for future listening on Monday. So, but as we speak here live, it is an overtime tie, 4-4, the Predators and the Jets. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, you're not doing a hockey game.
No, no. I mean, it's on TV. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Are you getting hip replacement surgery? Do you need a new elbow? Do you need a new shoulder? Are you going to be walking on a walker? Do you need a wheelchair? Maybe some pain medicine? Go to Dr. Wellman. Dr. Wellman, 85 years of age, hardly moves when he walks, but boy, he can take care of any hip replacement, any elbow replacement, any shoulder replacement. And if you need to take a lot of naps, if you need to sleep the day through, Dr. Wellman's for you. Yes, Dr. Wellman. Hip replacement and then retire early to an old folks home and get a lot of naps.
Dr. Wellman will replace your hips, your elbows, your shoulders. Who knows? I mean, someday might be able to replace your head.
Get a lot of naps in with Dr. Wellman.
Special pain medication too.
If you're interested in something other than Christianity, maybe you'd like to join a witch's coven, come to Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven on Sunday nights at their home there at 7171 Bircher Street. Almost forgot where they were, and also I know that there's an evil spell cast upon me if I actually give out the real address. There'll be somebody there at the end of the street to show you where the real house is. On Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven on Saturday nights. They'll teach you all of the great ancient witches' arts. All the great ancient mystical black arts at Bob and Carol's Witch's Coven. Become a witch. Become a warlock. It's fun. Bob Souser, Daily News. I like it. Ted Willingsley, London Times. Bob and Carol's Witches Coven. Bye.
Now back to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Thanks a lot, General. World famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California with you, well, every day. And last week we had a rollout. We did a classic show on Wednesday, Margaret.
There was a great deal of positive reaction to that.
We did. So we're thinking of doing a classic show every other Wednesday, perhaps, where we roll out some great bits. One of the great bits that we did on our show was Steve Bozell when he was at the Olive Garden. And apparently he'd used the restroom there to a negative effect, and it got him to
hire an attorney and try to sue Olive Garden because somebody said, who died in here?
Oh, yeah, that was while he was in the stall.
You kidding me or something?
No, man, you remember that?
No.
Yeah, so, but we have Steve on the phone with us right now here for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445 to talk to us about the men's club. That's the men's club event that's happening at CK Corona Church coming up on this coming weekend. I think this Saturday night, anyway. Hey, Steve, good to have you on the line with us, man.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me on. I apologize. I got a right near a waterfall here at the... At the event.
Is this the fair?
Steve, this is the men's club fair, right?
It's not the men's club fair. It's just the church's fiesta that we have. And, you know, it's a very, very popular fiesta.
This is the one where you've done stand-up comedy the last few years, right?
I have done stand-up comedy. I'm hopeful that this is the year that I was hopeful that this would be the year I would break through and be on the main stage, but they still got me in the kids' barnyard corral. And to be honest with you, I don't understand it.
Now, when you say they've got you in the kids' barnyard corral, what does that mean?
That means they think that I have not yet gotten good enough to be on the main stage. And I don't understand that. I do adult humor, and maybe that's what it is.
Well, now, I remember, Steve, you said you did some jokes that were a little bit too adult.
Oh, that wasn't the problem. I think my jokes were probably, maybe they were a little bit, but the problem is that I do a lot of very sophisticated satirical satire, and I don't think they get the kind of, you know, humor that I do. And so they say, you know, you have to kind of work it up and work it up and work it up.
Well, if they've got you in the little kids' corral, it's called the kids' barnyard.
You know, it's
that sounds like you don't even rate.
Wait, hold on, I do rate.
Well, what do they call it? The kiddies' barnyard?
It's called the kiddies' barnyard corral, and that's the kids' stage.
Okay, so they obviously feel that your humor is not too negative for the kids.
No, they don't, and that's the part that disturbs me, because obviously I feel I'm adult enough to be on the stage.
But you don't want to do adult humor in front of the children, so how do you prove yourself as an adult humorist or adult comic?
Well, that's what I try to keep saying to them. And they come back, well, you got to be funny. I said, you know, give me a break. That part I got down pat. So.
Well, how do you know? Do they think you're funny?
As far as I know, they do. I mean, yeah, a few of them have said that they don't find me funny at all, but that's, you're going to get that in any crowd.
You think the problem is your humor is too sophisticated? How could the little kids in the kiddie barnyard corral get it?
It's not called the kiddie barnyard corral. It's called the kiddie corral barnyard.
All right, Bozell, take it easy.
Yeah, we're not trying to embarrass you or anything.
Well, you've got to get this right. Now, one of the problems...
Let me ask you a question. Who is this Jared Pomeroy?
Jared Pomeroy is one of the fathers in the men's club who has just been invited to appear on the main stage. And I couldn't believe what he did. He said, I'm going to work dirty. And I said, how are you going to work dirty in front of the kids' corral stage? And he said, because I'll do kid humor, but it'll be filthy, you know?
He said what?
He said he could work dirty.
He could work dirty in front of a bunch of kids?
Yeah. And I said, well, this I got to hear. And I sat down, and this is what got him invited to go on the main stage, because they said he was funny, he was adult, but he didn't offend the kids. So I go, what? You know, so I sat down. This was last Friday night. So I sat down and listened to his set. They had two sets. He did a set at 8, and he did another one at 10:30 and 11.
This is the Kiddies Corral stage.
The Kiddie Barnyard Corral.
The Kiddie Barnyard Corral, and they're doing two sets, one at 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's very late for children.
It may be late for children, but by God, that stage was open, and it was packed to the teeth. And no adults are allowed, as you know, because it's for the children.
No adults are allowed. It's for the children.
Mr. Henry, I didn't make the rules, okay? You're sitting there going, no adults, no...
Phil, you know, like the man said, he doesn't make the rules. All right.
So I, you know, they said the Kiddie Corral is now over. They packed it in. The second show was sold out.
This is for children, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. So there's no adults?
No.
What's the ticket cost?
Yeah, I was going to say, how much the ticket cost?
I think the tickets are, well, you can get ringside it for, ringside's $15.
And ringside is $15?
Can I just finish this?
Y'all let him finish. Go ahead.
Ringside's $15, and I think they've got an elevated mezzanine, but there's an elevated part of the barnyard. They've put tables on top of hay bales, and those tickets are $5 and $10.
No adults allowed.
I don't stutter, Mr. Henry.
All right, Phil, we've got that established. Okay.
So, and they were almost sold out, and I had to beg, borrow, and steal a ticket.
How'd you get one?
I had to scalp one. I stood outside. Anybody got a ticket?
for the 11 o'clock?
This is very embarrassing, Mr. Henry, for you to sit there with your, you know, little team of laughing magpies.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Mr. Bozell, you're the one telling this absurd story of having to get tickets for the second show at the Kitty's Barnyard Corral.
That's what I had to do.
And you had to scalp a ticket.
I had to see if anybody was scalping them. So I finally got a ticket for the $10. This was ordinarily a $5 face value ticket. I spent $35 for.
This guy,
I think we got it established.
Yeah, it's pretty established.
I don't believe it. This guy is playing for the Kitty Barnyard or whatever the hell it is.
It's the Kitty Corral Barnyard.
Well, that's the second time you screwed that up, but go ahead.
No, I haven't.
No, the guy's, he's playing a stand-up show. Kids only. How's the oldest kid?
9, 10 years old.
9 or 10?
Yeah.
And this is an 11 o'clock show. Tickets are being scalped for up to $35. And your buddy, and this guy's who?
Are you asking me a question?
What is this gentleman's name?
His name is Jared Pomeroy. Yeah, he's one of the fathers, and he's a member of our men's club.
And they packed in for this one, huh?
Yeah, because he tells dirty jokes, but they're kid-friendly. They're not... Like, for instance, I sat down, I wrote some notes. I didn't hear the whole joke, but he goes... And then I got one line of it, and then he looked over and he went, ooh, doo-doo. And that brought the house down.
It brought the house down, huh? So in other words, he's not saying the S-word, he's saying doo-doo.
No, that's not just that. And then he said something about someone let one in the middle of a birthday party. That got a huge...
What do you mean, let one? Farted?
Yeah, someone farted in a birthday party. That got a huge reaction. I mean, it brought the house down. Then he... Yeah.
Brought the house down. Someone farted at a birthday party.
Yes. Another joke he did was I belched and it ruined my sister's something about his. I belched and then it made my sister sound like she did it. That was another joke. Then he talked about someone looking like a monster and then realized it was his kid sister, and just jokes like that throughout the whole evening.
Someone looking like a monster. So it was a bunch of belching and farting and poo jokes.
Yes. And Bill Clemens with the men's club said, yeah, we're bringing Jared in because he packed him in at the Kitty Corral and there's no telling what he can do for us. I said, did you hear those jokes? He goes, yeah. He said he worked dirty, but he worked clean. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I said, well, what about me? And they said, and he says to me, Bozell, you got to get some laughs out of what you're doing, man, because it.
What kind of jokes are you doing, Steve?
I was doing knock-knock jokes and stuff like that.
So you're doing kid jokes?
Of course. What do you think, man? I'm doing knock-knock jokes. I'm doing, you know, Pollock jokes.
I'm surprised they let you do those.
You're kidding me, man. Pollock jokes.
Well, you know. I mean, like dumb blonde, whatever. I'm just doing any kind of a joke that I think a kid's going to get a laugh out of. And I mean...
What's the response like?
Yeah, I mean, do people pack in for you?
No, they don't pack them in for me. I sold out one-third of the room one night. Another night, I think maybe I sold 5 or 6 tables. I mean, it's bad.
Tables? These are children.
Yeah. What are they supposed to sit at?
Okay, so, all right. And your material?
My material's stiffed, and here comes Pomeroy with doo-doo jokes and belch jokes, and now he's going to be playing the main stage. So my point, and the whole reason why I came on your program here tonight, is to please, 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 everybody, coming up on Monday night, I'll be at the Kitty Corral stage at the CK Corona Church annual festival. I'll be on the Corral and the Kitty... I can't even remember what it's called now.
The Kitty Barnyard Corral.
Yes, sir. The Kitty Barnyard.
Steve, you know, Phil's wound up.
Boy, I'll bet he is. The Kitty Barnyard Corral. And that's at 8 o'clock. I'll do another show at 10 and then another show at midnight.
Midnight with 9-year-old kids.
Boy, he's a little thick, huh?
Phil, you know what he's saying.
I'm not thick, Steve. Thank you.
All right, well.
Steve Bozell, folks, so you want to get a sell out there.
I'd love to get a sell out, because if I can sell it out, even though I'm doing knock-knock jokes, then I don't know.
You know what? If I were you, Steve, I'd lay off the men's club and the fiesta and the kiddies' barnyard corral and try to work a club or something.
Yeah, why don't you go work a professional room like, I don't know, the Improv in Irvine?
I gotta get better. I can't just go out to the Improv. They're not going to hire me. I got to get better and better until I'm, you know, until I'm just, I'm killing every night.
Because this guy Pomeroy is really killing with the doo-doo jokes, huh?
Yeah, he is. That's exactly what Wilson said to me. He said, you know, I don't know what it is, Steve, but these doo-doo jokes and the belch jokes kill. I mean, they just slaughter everybody in the house. Yeah, he said, you could see the crowds. I was standing there talking to him, and we were on the second floor there at a men's club, and we were looking down into the courtyard in the parking lot of the church. And, I mean, the line went out into the street.
For this guy who's working the...
Yeah, the guy's working the kiddie corral.
Well, they must be hard up for humor in that part of the... And these are all 9-year-old kids.
Yeah, their parents drop them off and then pick them up later on.
All right, folks. Well, please patronize Steve Bozell as he attempts to hit a home run there on the kiddie barnyard corral stage so he can get to the main.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't mean to,
I'm trying to hang up.
You can't hang up until we tell you goodbye. And we will say goodbye.
One more thing. I hope...
Steven Bozell of the world-famous Phil... Oh, you know what?
He was going to talk to you about the hockey team.
Yeah. Is he still there?
Yeah, he is. Steve. Oh, no, we hung up on him.
Call him back. I apologize. There's one more thing Steve wanted to talk about, the Nashville Predators. You know, he's from originally Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
And the Predators are in the... Hey, Steve, I apologize, man. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Predator hockey.
Just a little bit. I don't want to... I'm not a big hockey fan, but you can't be from Tennessee or live in Tennessee without hearing about the Nashville Predators. They're doing real good. They won the Western Conference last year, and we're in the Stanley Cup. And tonight, they're tied up, as you mentioned, Phil, the Winnipeg Jets. And I think I just want to give a shout-out to the Nashville Predators, and I want to give a shout-out to them as well, because and it kind of took me by surprise to see a black guy on their team, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, Mr. Henry.
P.K. Subban, is that his name?
Yeah, I believe that is. Are you familiar with that?
Familiar with what?
Well, that there's black players.
There have been black players in the NHL since the 50s. There was a member of the L.A. Blades, Willie O'Ree.
Who?
Willie O'Ree. I think Willie O'Ree was...
Willie O'Ree was the Jackie Robinson, they say, of professional hockey.
And when was that?
Like, I saw Willie O'Ree play in the early 60s.
In the early 60s? It made me... I'm very happy to see this. I think it's fantastic. Are they from America, or...
These are black Canadian players.
Oh, all right. I mean, it sort of made me... when I saw a black player playing hockey, I got disoriented, I guess. And I wanted to tell people...
But what are you disoriented for?
What does that mean?
It just meant like my world was turned upside down or inside out. I don't know. I mean, you don't usually see a black player playing hockey, and when I saw this young man, Subban, and he was out there on the ice, I just went, oh, man, I had to sit down. And
is it something you don't like, Bozell?
No, that's not it at all. It's just something that I was...
There have been black players down to the years in the NHL, and there's more and more players in the National Hockey League of African-American, African-Canadian. One of the great goalies of all time played for the Edmonton Oilers, Grant Fuhr, when they won the Stanley Cup.
And who's this again?
Grant Fuhr. He was their goaltender. And he played for them while they were winning all those Stanley Cups back in the early 80s. So I think, while there's not a lot of black... But the fact that you say it made you dizzy...
Well, what is that about, Bozell? Because that's the part that makes me think you've got a problem with it.
Well, what are you saying, man? You don't like it?
No, I didn't say that at all. What I'd like to advise the Predators, those of us who moved away from Tennessee, who are used to... I mean, hockey's big in the South for a lot of reasons. One of them is that you go and see a white man play.
Yeah, not have to see the black guys around.
No, that's not it.
Well, that's what it's sounding like.
You're going to have to get used to life as it is, Bozell, not the way you and your buddies want it to be.
No, I got no problem. All I'm asking them to do is give us a heads up on that. Tonight, the Nashville Predators, you may see a black guy.
You may see a black guy on skates.
Why can't I hang up?
Because I don't want you to hang up, because I want you to be humiliated, because you're a moron. Is that all right? And by the way, good luck with those doo-doo jokes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Stephen Bozell of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, don't forget, folks, to give us a rating and review over on iTunes. We really appreciate that. If you like the show, if you've been following us for a while, you've been downloading the show for a while, give us a rating and review. And we love you, too.
A rating and review at iTunes.
That's right.
And also,
it's a rating and review on iTunes. And also, Vernon Dozier has a special video coming out, right? Yeah, Vernon Dozier has cut a video for us. You know, if you are a subscriber, if you're a BSP, you may know people that used to subscribe to the show and don't subscribe to it anymore. And that is the case with a lot of shows. But if you know anybody who used to subscribe to the show, or if I'm talking to people that are former subscribers, we want you to think about getting a subscription anew to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we'll make it worth your while. World famous Phil Hendry Show. That's the world famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Doo doo jokes.